Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Talking about chicken a la king,
mango and garbanzo tabbouleh,
little potatoes and vegetables with roasted garlic and basil,
zucchini ziti,
granola fruit bar. Yeah,
look at all this beautiful food.
Welcome to Green Eggs and Dan, the podcast where I interview amazing humans with amazing minds, but all we care about is what is in their bellies. And today's guest is comedian actress Eliza Schlesinger. She is currently on an international sold-out tour and getting ready to tape her fifth Netflix special in May. Last year, she co-starred Mark Wahlberg and Rose Byrne in Instant Family.
My co-star is putting it strongly.
No.
I was in it.
You were very funny in it.
Thank you.
She'll next be seen in the Netflix feature film Wonderland, starring Wahlberg and directed by Peter Berg. Her first book, Girl Logic, is available on Audible and also readable, right? You can just get it
If anyone still reads, it's out there.
Please welcome. Oh, wait. Before I welcome you, she also has her own podcast. It's called Ask Eliza Anything.
That's the reason I'm on here.
That's the only reason she's here, and I almost glossed over it. Please welcome one of the funniest people alive.
Oh, wow.
Eliza Schlesinger,
thanks,
everyone.
Dan.
Yay.
Thanks.
I'm so excited to have you here for many reasons.
Yeah.
Number one, I think you're hilarious, and I respect you. Number two.
Thank you.
I am very curious about your food life, because you talk about food on stage a bunch. You had a very funny bit about eating in front of men.
Oh, wow. That is an old one.
That is an oldie but a goodie.
It doesn't apply anymore.
It doesn't. You're married now.
I'm married. And also, for several years before I was married, I was like, you want to be with me so badly, you'll watch me eat these wings.
And you're married to a food guy.
He's a chef.
He's a big food guy.
Yeah.
You are one of the harder working people that, I mean, your name is on all of the clubs all the time, traveling all over the country. I imagine when you get home, you have a routine. You have a food routine that you need to ground you, to bring you back down to earth.
Yeah, like a non-garbage routine. You know, before I got married, my Sundays were, everybody would like have like a Sunday fun day. And yeah. I never subscribed to that because I was always working. And so my Sunday was land from LAX, go home, pass out for 6 hours.
Right.
And then I would order like Thai food and watch Game of Thrones when it was in its infancy. Or do whatever. And since being married, you know, it's become like we meet up, we do the New York Times crossword puzzle. He goes to the farmer's market. He calls anything that I make health man food. So it's weird. He's like, you'll try to be health man this weekend.
I don't get that. What does that mean?
He's just like, do you want to be a health man or do you want to be a garbage person? Like, okay. Are we going to go out and eat garbage? Or are we going to like do like farmed greens, farm to table vegetables,
yeah,
and kefir smoothies, things like that? So it depends on a whim. He's a very good husband in that he's always there to like field whatever it is I want to eat. Because that's, yeah, like the age old thing. Like, what do you want to eat? I don't know what you want to eat. And he could have a whole meal prepped. And I'm like, let's just go out. And he's like, all right. Whatever you want to do.
Wow.
I love going out to eat.
Do you ever cook?
I don't get a thrill from it.
You don't?
But I feel like there's this thing in our society where, like, as a woman, you have to either fiercely be anti or pro. You're like, I don't cook. I'm a real feminist. I don't care. And I'm like, oh, I just don't care. Like, I love spending money on food. I don't buy expensive cars, but I do like to buy expensive food.
Yes.
And I don't get any... He gets, like, a real joy out of it. His family loves it. My mom loves to cook. He loves doing it. So why do I have to do it?
Yeah. No, I mean, it makes sense. But has his passion for it made you want to do it more? Is the chair awkward?
No, it's, my back is awkward. It's not the chair.
Oh.
No, not at all. In fact, his passion for it has prompted me to participate even less.
Really?
The kitchen is off limits to me. I go in there and he's like always right behind me like, can I get you something? What can I? Don't pick that up.
Sounds like a dream come true.
It's great. And he likes to make snacks. And he likes to make food. Do I fit into any of the pants I owned before I met him? No. Is it weird to grow out of clothing as an adult? Yes. But I've just resigned myself to, like, we're just going to be a little thicker in the thighs.
Well, you guys have a very interesting fridge that I have a picture of. First of all, you have the requisite LaCroix corn, like the whole door of LaCroix.
You'll notice it's not the pamplemousse flavor, which everyone likes.
Yes.
LaCroix sent me like a crate of LaCroix.
Really?
And I just bought a house. And so it was at the old house. And so we moved all the LaCroix. We gave all the movers, like each had like six a piece. Like we're just handing it out like candy. So we have a lot of it.
Oh, that's so good.
But yeah, that's why it's definitely not something I bought.
Do you know, I had a LaCroix flavor this week that I love every single flavor. And then I had this one and I wanted to vomit.
Which one was it?
Key lime.
Oh, yeah, that's a tough one.
And I love key lime pie. I'm a big key lime guy.
I love key lime pie.
That flavor was just off. I couldn't stand it. It was very artificial flavor.
Yeah,
tasting.
I mean, yeah, it's not
I know you're
favorite.
Not. I know you're not allowed to talk badly about them. They're your sponsor.
Key
They're
lime's
your people.
LaCroix, love pamplemousse. Down for the limon, pepino, whatever the other ones are. The key lime, it could be better.
I was going to ask you about the limon pepino. This is one of those, they're little ones that they have, like the Red Bull can ones that are like their specialty flavors.
Oh, and then there's like the cerise lime one. That's tasty.
I've never done that.
It's, look, it's all fine.
Are you coconut, pro-coconut or anti?
I've never had the coconut.
Oh, very polarizing flavor.
Is it tasty?
I like it, but a lot of people are like, it's like sunscreen.
Oh, I could see that.
Yeah.
Well, as someone who wears a lot of sunscreen, I'm sure a little bit more down my throat won't matter. It's already on.
It tastes like
face and
like
neck.
Licking Eliza is what that flavor tastes like.
Imagine it.
Okay, but in that same door, three different kinds of mustards.
I have an explanation for this.
Three different kinds of mustards.
Two are the same, two are yellow, and then one's like deli. And here's why. We love to throw parties. My friends all know that every year I do like a Christmas party, and for years I did it by myself before I met him, and I would like hand make everything and decorate my whole house. And when I met him, he like took over, and he'd go, mustard's one of those things that you need for like pigs in a blanket, or if we have pastrami or any kind of meat. It's the one thing you don't want to get home and be like, fuck, I forgot the mustard.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you could Instacart it, but like, it's just one item. It's that thing that you never know if you have it.
Yes.
And then you're always rebuying it like sugar. So that's a product of probably three different parties where we thought we didn't think we had mustard.
Yeah, I'm with ketchup. I have like seven different ketchups.
Yeah. That being said, I'm not a creative inventor when it comes to food and flavor combinations and profiles. I only put mustard on sandwiches.
Right.
So it's good to have anyway. But that's not from like an affinity for mustard. That's just not knowing what we had and being wasteful.
It's good to have three of those.
Yeah.
If you had to have three of anything, that's a good one.
I love yellow mustard. Also, like, there's no calories, there's no sugar. It's like drinking LaCroix.
It is the LaCroix of condiments.
It's LaCroix of the condiment world.
They should make a mustard flavor.
Yeah, and the key lime is disgusting.
You guys do something in your fridge, which I think I'm going to run home and do, which is you made a little wine row.
Okay, so full disclosure.
I love the wine row.
That refrigerator is a Miele. It's a really expensive French line of appliances.
Are they French or are they German?
Oh, okay. Well, I thought Miele was like French for honey, but it could be German. You know what? It probably is German given how efficient it is.
Okay. Andrew, are you on this? This is very fucking important
German.
To know this.
But the house that we bought came with all of these built-ins.
Ooh.
So while they're not 100% functional, like nobody needs a tiny shelf, we've just figured out like our dishwasher's the same way, like very German in that everything is like compact, small drawers, everything's got a purpose.
Yeah.
But it's not exactly user friendly.
Yeah.
So I am not an asshole by no means. The house also came with several wine fridges and a wine rack.
Hold on.
I don't know who we're supposed to be.
I'm going to stop you right there. I don't think that makes you an asshole. I think this is a brilliant, this is a great idea.
It was my idea.
This
I did that.
Wonderful. It is German.
It's German.
Really?
So the compartments make even more sense.
Yeah.
So the wine thing is, before I met him, and even for a long time when we were together, the fridge held champagne, caviar from gifts, and under-eye cream and jade rollers for my face, because you refrigerate them. The one woman here gets it.
Yeah.
And I love that. I think there's something very sexy about, like, my refrigerator only has celebratory drinks and face-fixing stuff.
Wait, hold on. What are the caviar gifts? What are you getting caviar gifts for?
Who's
like giving you the Petrosian starter kit?
Like champagne and caviar. My mom gave us little pearl spoons. Like it's just like a cute thing to have. And then when you break it out at a party,
it's very, very fancy.
It's very fancy. And then what happens is it's so fancy that you don't eat it. And then you have a party, like let's say a week ago, and you break out the caviar and everyone's like, oh, this is rotten fish eggs. Whoops-a-daisy. Turns out it doesn't keep forever.
Are you a big caviar fan?
I like caviar. I think I go out of my way to eat caviar proper probably twice a year.
Yeah.
But it's not like you know, I guess technically sushi has roe and that's caviar, but
yeah, but we're talking about like the black stuff.
Caviar with like creme fraiche.
Yeah.
On a potato chip. Mm. I went wine tasting this weekend. I sound like the biggest asshole, but we're talking about food. Anyways,
you went wine tasting? Where'd you go wine tasting?
We were in Napa. I had a show in Napa, and then I had a show in San Francisco.
Oh, awesome.
And I was like, let's go. Here's what happened. I was invited to a movie premiere, and I didn't want to go because I wasn't in the movie. And sometimes you just get tired of being like, oh, I'm so great watching everyone else. So I was like, I need a reason not to go. So right. We went to Napa a day early.
Best reason ever. Yeah. Love Napa.
We went to this beautiful vineyard called Ashes and Diamonds. Shout out to Ashes and Diamonds.
Awesome.
It was so modern and lovely.
They have great wine.
They do. You know it.
Yeah, of course.
And I'd never heard of it. And we went and it was lovely. And they did the caviar potato chip creme fraiche thing. And we got a little smashed.
Yeah.
And ended up at Yao Ming's family winery tasting room.
No.
They like ushered us in and I was like, you want a free glass of wine? And I was like, always. And it wasn't bad and I ordered 2 bottles.
Oh my God.
Because my husband loves basketball and I was like, you can drink this.
Oh my God. Yao Ming is making wine?
Yes, I mean, he's not, but he is posing as if he is. Like in a suit, in like an 8-foot-tall suit, like inspecting the grapes.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was tasty.
Do you know that rich Chinese people have been, like the market for wine has gotten so expensive because rich Chinese people are way richer than we are?
Yeah.
And they're like, I want all of the Napa cabs.
I think you could say that about everything. Rich Chinese people are driving up real estate.
Yeah.
Everything.
Louboutin sneakers.
They love old world European craftsmanship. Like one of the signs of wealth, I think in like China or just Hong Kong itself is having a white butler.
Huh.
Like all of these like old guard European things, they covet.
Yeah.
They love those things.
Yeah.
So the wine, I mean, but wine's tasty and you know, you can only drink so much sake. That's Japanese.
That's Japanese.
What do the Chinese drink?
Oh, they have a
whiskey.
They do drink whiskey. They have another drink now that they're trying to make popular.
Cut out the part where I said sake. I was just trying to think. I was like, rice.
No,
what do they distill?
That is staying in.
Keep it. I knew it.
No. We'll take it out.
No, it's okay. They do whiskey and
They do this new thing. It's not new. It's old, but it's like in that white bottle. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Horchata.
There's ads for it. They make an horchata.
Yeah. Tasty. Eastern horchata.
Exactly. It's Szechuan peppercorns. Mm-hmm. No, they have this thing. It's called like Baichan or some shit, and it's like it tastes like rocket fuel, and it's like $300 a bottle. It's
awful. They don't
awful.
Fuck around.
It's awful.
I'm not a huge fan of the Eastern liquors, so sake I will drink. I do think it tastes. I'm not gonna say it, but I'll drink it. Soju is also like it creeps up on you. It doesn't have a burn, so you're just eating meat and drinking it. Because those guys, like you, the farther east you get, the more hammered people get.
Yeah.
Like on the reg. So
and there's Japanese. I think Japanese soju, and then there's Korean shochu.
Shochu, right.
And the Korean stuff is, like, gnarly. The Japanese stuff is a little more refined. This is starting to sound racist. The Japanese stuff is a little more refined. The Korean stuff is a little more rocket fuel-y.
Yeah.
And it's, like, that gives me the worst hangover. But I can't stop drinking it when I start.
Yeah, I'm a clear liquor person, so I don't really do the whiskey thing. We have some, like, hibiki at our house, like
Ooh,
the Japanese.
Fancy.
I don't drink it. It's for the dudes or anybody who wants it. I pride myself on having... I'm not a... massive drinker. Like Jews don't really come home and have like 3 fingers of whiskey after a day, like culturally.
I think I'm starting to change that. Maybe you and I are starting a revolution on
Are you Jewish?
Yeah.
I always thought you were just Middle Eastern.
I am Middle Eastern Jewish. Iranian Jewish.
There
you
go. Well that one is a normal combo.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't be anything. You wouldn't be like, I'm from Saudi Arabia, but also Jewish.
Right.
You're dead.
We're the Riyadh Jews.
Yeah.
No, they don't exist anymore.
But yeah, but I love having liquor because, you know, we get a lot of different parties. So we have a lot of like full bottles of like Fireball and like Parrot Bay rum and like things that like people bring that no one's going to drink.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of, I like the idea of like offering people nice alcohol and nice glasses.
Some friend of mine I was having like a dinner party and he brought me what was clearly a regifted like shitty Courvoisier. Like with the box that has the glasses in it. I'm like, I'm never
the whole
gonna
set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awful. It's like grandma.
That way with like vodka too, like there's so many of them out there and someone gifts it to you, you're like we go online and we look up because we always want to make sure if we're keeping it versus just giving it away that it's worth keeping.
Yeah.
But there's just so many different types. I've got some like what's it called? Like Kirschweil. It's like a German cherry liqueur that I needed for one drink. You acquire these liquors.
Yes.
And then you just got this cabinet full of garbage.
The thing with the fucking pear in the bottle.
Yeah, whole
I have
pear.
One of those.
Sure.
Whole pear in the bottle.
Do you know what a Pousse Café is?
No.
It's like every bartender's nightmare. And if you look it up, you can see it. I think it's P-O-U-S-S-E maybe, or P-O-U-S-E. It's a layered drink. You know how they do like layers, yes, whatever? And it's like seven layers and it looks like a rainbow. And it's like coffee liqueur, coconut liqueur, strawberry liqueur. It's all these. And if you drank it, it's disgusting, but it takes forever to make.
Oh, it sounds like a little bit of a more refined Long Island iced tea.
Yeah, there you go. It's a French Long Island iced tea. You want to fuck up a bartender's day. There it is. Order a Poo's Cafe.
Whoa.
And watch their face melt. It looks like several Jello shots layered.
A Poo's Cafe.
Yeah.
Wait, so any food in Napa? Did you guys stay overnight or you just drove in and drove out?
We didn't drive. We flew. So it was me and my feature act, Hunter Hill, and then our tour manager. And we went to a restaurant called Charter Oak Inn.
No, oh, yeah. Charter Oak
Grill. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Excellent.
Yeah. Charter Oak is awesome. I've been there once. I loved it.
Loved it. We did this thing called the Farmer's Dinner, where it was like X amount of dollars a person, and they just cook for you.
Yeah.
We were hammered. We were in the courtyard. No one was sitting with us. We were racing each other. I thought I could beat Hunter, who's like 9 feet tall.
Like run racing?
Run racing. It's on what was on the Instagram. And but everything was great, and I just kind of like, I've got to get ready for this Netflix special, but I was like, I'll just eat everything for tonight. And then, this is so sad, so we stayed at this hotel, and they put a bottle of wine in my room.
Yeah.
But it was, like, a really crappy bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Like, the hotel wasn't, it was just whatever it was, and they
in
put
Napa,
it
in, the hotel, mm-hmm, or? Okay.
To say, like, welcome, and I was done drinking. My tour manager was like, I'll take it. And it was like a $3 bottle of wine. And she like is that party girl that like kept drinking alone even after everyone had gone to bed shit canned.
Right, right, right.
The next morning she's like, that wine wasn't good. I'm like, it's because it's lonely wine. You shouldn't be drinking it. But the food was great.
Wait, where was your show in Napa? Was that the
Napa Uptown Theater?
Oh, okay, cool.
It was just a nice little side gig to do on the way to San Francisco where we did the Masonic, which was like 2,200 and
it's also a fun excuse to go to Napa.
It's great.
I mean,
and you know what? I vote Napa with just friends, not even romantically.
Yeah.
You just get a different kind of fucked up.
Yeah. I go every year with a group of seven guys.
There you go.
And we bro out at fucking wine tastings.
All the food. My brother lives up there and he's never been. And so he and his girlfriend came to my show and I was like, you need to just for a night come here.
Yeah.
You don't have to spend a ton of money. Even pick a shitty vineyard and just get smashed,
yes,
off of wine tasting. Someone was like, I didn't realize you were supposed to spit out the wine. I'm like, you're not.
You're not.
Come on now.
No.
What are we doing here?
I don't think I could hang out with someone who's a spitter.
No.
Like, fuck you.
But do you want to hear something weird?
Yes.
I'm not a huge wine drinker, and red wine, the more tannins, the more stuffed up my nose gets.
Oh, okay.
I'm like slightly allergic, but not enough not drink it. And my bachelorette party, my friends rented, like four or five friends rented a house in Solvang, also wine tasting. And we went wine tasting, which I didn't really want to do. I've been wine tasting. We live in California. So I brought a hidden bottle, like a flask of vodka.
No.
And while they tasted like Merlot, I just drank the vodka quietly, and that's what I drank.
Wait, were you drinking that with alongside, or you were,
no,
like sitting in the corner drinking out of your flask?
No, I might have also had wine, but it was more, I was like, I'm just going to get drunk. I think at the time I was doing the keto diet, so I was like, I'll just drink my olive juice and vodka.
Yeah.
No one has to know. And I made it my own.
Do you jump in and out of weird diets?
I'd never done a diet. My whole life. Like,
yeah.
I just never, whatever. And then last year, to get ready for the special last year, I decided to do the ketogenic diet. And I did it for many months.
That's like you can only eat live animals, right?
Pretty much. Live, yeah. Writhing, scared animals.
Yeah.
Because you have to eat their fear.
The adrenaline that goes into the, it's good for, yeah.
You understand.
Loss. Yeah.
And I did it for several months. I did it like something like October through like April.
Okay.
And.
Awful, no?
It's not awful. What happens, you stop eating so much because you're bored. And there are different hacks. The more people start to do this diet, the more it's like, oh, you can use, you know, farmer's sugar made of sun thoughts and instead of regular sugar, and you can make a mug cake. And I stopped doing it. And then for about 2 months recently, I was like, I'll cut out wheat and flour. And it's a joyless existence. And
yeah.
The conclusion I've come to recently is I don't care. I'll never be a teen model.
Yeah.
And I work out every day, and if you can just eat less calories than you expend,
I think people go, I think honestly, because we live in LA, we go extra crazy over this stuff, but I think you're right. It's not that big of a deal. Although I will say I have a girlfriend now.
Whoa, quit bragging.
Yeah, humble brag. But she's gluten-free, which for me is like, it's a tough thing.
Have you been to Bavel,
yes.
Excuse me, downtown. Isn't it outstanding?
Bavel or Bavel? I don't know
Bavel.
Which one it is.
Miel.
Miel?
Miel. I think it's Bavel. You can't be gluten-free and go there because it's all like Israeli and breads.
Guess what? We were gluten-free and we went there.
How'd you do it? You didn't get the tasty bread then.
She stayed in the car.
I described it to her. You know what? Here's the thing about the gluten and the wheat. If you don't eat it at a meal, you will notice that you do not feel bloated. If you do a protein meal, your belly doesn't feel puffy. Like, you feel like you could still go drink after.
Yeah.
So it's a choice you make with the bread. I did the ketogenic diet, and then for my birthday last year, we all went to John and Vinny's.
Nice.
Was it last year? Oh, my God. It might have been 2 years ago. Oh, my God. And I had
John and Vinny's, fantastic Italian restaurant on Fairfax.
Fantastic and tasty.
Fantastic.
And it was the first time I was having wine and bread and pasta and all this stuff. And I'm not a huge pasta person anyway, but I like went to town because it was first time having carbohydrates, really.
And you're John and Vinny's, one
and
in Rome.
I, this is going to sound bad. And you know what? Spare me the like, oh my God, eating disorder's not funny. For sure. I had to go throw up my dinner. I had eaten so much and it was such a shock to the system. And I hadn't, any good drinker knows this. I had to make a decision. Do I keep the food?
Pull
in
the trigger.
Yeah. Or do I throw up so that I can go to my own birthday party? The answer is puke and go. And
get
I did
out.
It. And you know what?
You puked John and Vinny.
It was so good, but I was like, this is my, it was such a shock to my system.
Oh my God.
And I was like, what do we do?
But it was a smart move.
For the good of the cause. Otherwise, I couldn't go to my own birthday party.
Wow.
And so I made a game time decision.
I think that's okay. I support that game time decision.
Yeah, people are going to send me hate mail regardless. But
no.
And everybody knows that feeling where you're like, I've had too much.
Yeah.
I'm uncomfortable. This is a problem. It's not a habit, but it's something I did once.
What are your regular restaurants that you go to?
So what are your regular eating disorder
What are your
Where do we go? Okay, so I'm a proponent for, you know, environmentalism and sustainability. Notice I have my own coffee in a
yes.
sustainable container. All of you have paper cups
mm-hmm.
and plastic straws.
Yeah, yeah.
And
although the cap is made out of rhino horn. You guys should know that.
Well, yeah, listening. I want to be virile. My husband to absorb the virility. So we always try to do higher quality meat and fish less often. That's the rule.
Right.
Fish and chicken and meat, they're ubiquitous. Like, you... 7-Eleven shouldn't have tuna,
right?
You know,
right.
It is tasty. everywhere there's chicken available at FedEx, like
yes.
Kinko's. Like, there's chicken, so we try to eat meat that's higher quality less often. And same with
pasture,
sushi.
Grass fed,
yeah,
grass pastures.
People make fun of these things, but that's how you get sustainable.
I mean, I do it too, but it's fun to make fun of.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
because most people are assholes about their things.
Yeah.
So we love Asanebo for sushi.
Oh.
You do it up.
Go big or go home.
Go big or go home.
Asanebo is the place that's in the valley?
It's in the valley.
It's like Studio City-ish, like
uh-huh.
by CBS?
And down the road in Sherman Oaks is a place called Sushi Note. And I'm reticent to tell people about it because I want to still be able to get a table. But it's outstanding.
Really?
Yes.
I have a friend in town today who is from New York. He's a fine-ass douchebag. He's one of those guys.
So loves, you want cocaine,
like,
and sushi wrecks.
We gotta get fucking crazy sushi. Last time we went to Matsuhisa and had a $750 dinner
yeah.
for two.
Yeah, you did. Before alcohol.
Thank you, Morgan Stanley.
Yeah.
They were like, what the fuck is this? He's like, he told them that he took four clients out.
And they're like, you know what? We're used to lying and just covering it up. The government will bail us out for this sushi bill.
But he's back in town tonight.
Sushi
a
note.
Meet. And we are going out tonight.
Where are you going?
He said he wants something very L.A. that he can't get anywhere else. It's very exciting.
You know what? New York doesn't have great sushi. L.A. does.
That's true.
And weirdly, New York doesn't have any Mexican food that's good.
Shots
Neither
fired.
Does
Shots fired.
Come at me. But I will also say, Hollywood proper doesn't have great Mexican either. It's weird. You got to go a little bit farther out or to like a tacos truck.
Yeah.
A taco truck. But as far as like standing brick
or tacos
and mortar,
truck, it could
tacos,
be plural.
There's many.
Yeah.
But as far as standing brick and mortar, like, you're not going to take him to El Coyote.
No.
You're not going to go to El Compadre.
No.
And what is it? Petty cash is a little pricey and it's fine.
There's a douchey factor to that, though, which I'm not into.
Yeah, so it's weird. You want great Mexican food, you got to travel a little bit.
You do.
Why don't you take him to, like, San Gabriel Valley?
Because I don't think you heard the part about him being a finance douchebag.
Yeah. Okay, so
he needs to
bring a hooker.
Yeah.
Bring a spreadsheet and a hooker.
We're taking a hooker to Taco King.
I would take him to really great sushi.
I think, okay, here's what I was thinking. Either animal or here's looking at you.
Yeah. Here's looking at you is tasty.
I love here's
nice
looking at you.
Nice ambiance.
Yeah.
There's also, I mean, if we want to go east side, there's also.
But I've heard of sushi note or note. Miel.
Miel.
What is that like? Tell me about...
It's wine-oriented, so you do wine pairings or wine with your sushi, which is actually quite civilized.
Interesting.
And when you get there, they give you a little shot glass filled with rosé, like a little welcome drink.
Okay.
And it's curated beautifully. Like, everything is note... Like, the theme is notes. So musical notes, handwritten notes. Like, it's just really, like, French, Japanese, the aesthetic. It's just really lovely. Sit at the sushi bar, obviously. I don't go to sushi unless we sit at the sushi bar.
I have a sushi place for you if you're ever in San Francisco again.
Okay.
Called Robin.
Okay.
It will blow your mind.
I'll remember that for a year from now.
My mom.
And that's like, okay, what do I do with that?
You know what? Forget it.
Forget it, for real.
You know, people call me for my restaurant wisdom, and I'm offering it to you for free.
Robin.
And you're throwing it out.
Robin.
No, forget it.
For all of you Nordic lesbian pop singers, she's serving up sush. But that's, you should do that. Or, you know, you could always go to Bloodsow's. They probably don't have good barbecue in New York.
They do not have good barbecue. Bloodsow's is fantastic.
Yeah.
They
My husband opened that restaurant.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I knew he was associated with that. I didn't know that he opened it.
That group, they're all like buddies, and he opened that restaurant.
No way.
It's a shame because we can't ever go eat there because he doesn't want, because, you know, he's opened it, so he's like over it.
He's had enough brisket.
And I'm from Texas, so I know I'm supposed to be like, oh no, good barbecue. I don't care. But it is exceptional.
It's fantastic. If you're ever in LA, you have to go to Bloodsow's. Their brisket is phenomenal.
And I'll do you one better. For the women out there that are like, it's hard to meet guys in LA, that's where the dudes go. They go there, they watch the game, they have a tasty tiki drink, and they fucking chill.
Yeah.
That's where you need to go.
I don't think that there's any actual walls in the place. I think it's just flat screen TVs.
It's all flat screen TVs, various playoff games at all times. There's always some sport having a playoff. But it's
actually
great.
My funnest fact. Yeah. My most fun fact about Bloodsow's.
Go on.
They are, I think, the only place in LA that has Fernet Branca on tap.
Oh, that's funny. That sounds like something those guys would do. They're very, I mean, it's my husband and his friends, and my family came over, his family, I guess it's mine now, for Mother's Day, and she was, my stepmother-in-law was saying, you know, when your husband was a kid, all of his friends would come over, and I'd find them in the basement. I'm like, jerking off? She's like, no, they'd be watching the Food Network, dissecting everything. Like, so that makes sense that they have that. We also, you know where you could take him? No. Take your douchebag buddy to Mozza. That's what he can't get in
Osteria
New York.
Mozza?
Osteria, not the pizzeria.
Not a bad call.
You know what? We'll do a bang bang sometimes because I'm a secret fatty. We'll go to Mozza, sit at the bar. You can do the Amaro bar, but he doesn't seem like he cares about money. So you can just order, sit at the bar.
Okay.
Ask for Patty because he's the best.
Okay.
Get a little shit canned, eat all the tasty pasta. The orchiette is probably the best, one of the best dishes in
it's
LA.
It's insanely good, the
so you know.
Yeah.
That's what you should do. And then waddle over to...
The pizzeria?
No, not the pizzeria. Well, you could go to Kiesbacher next door.
Yeah.
Extra tasty.
Kiesbacher or Cheesebacher?
It's actually Kiesbacher.
Is it?
That one I do know.
All right. That's. All
it's
right.
Also bruschetta, not bruschetta.
Really?
But I won't say bruschetta. Because I'm not a tool. Like, I just can't, even though it's right, like, I'm just going to Americanize it.
Yeah. But it's then like croissant and croissant.
Yeah, for sure.
Can
and
I
then
get
you can walk over. You can walk over to Petit Trois.
Petit Trois. Okay, what do you get there? And for dessert or for
can
entree?
I be honest, we went to Petit Trois recently, and we got the Le Big Mac, and it's just like a hamburger. And I thought it was impossible to eat, but they have really tasty. I think they have Normandy butter and fries. It's like a little French counter.
I love
thing.
Petit Trois.
Why don't you take them to Trois Mac next door?
I love and I hate it. I love and I hate it.
Yeah, I feel that way about everything.
And I don't know if I should be alienating chefs on my podcast, but there's something about Ludo Lefebvre that bothers me. Like, I don't know. I think he like hams up his Frenchness a little too much whenever he's on TV. He's the chef.
Weird because he's from Riverside.
Yeah, he exactly. But I will give him this: the bread at Petit Trois, the baguette, is the best bread in LA.
Why don't you take him to Trois Mac next door? Because that's an experience.
I went there and I thought that it was overpriced and I didn't enjoy it.
Of course it's overpriced. It's French.
Listen,
truffles
I will
everywhere.
Spend so much money on food
if
it's worth it. Like, I'll go to a $300 tasting menu. Actually, best meal I've had in LA.
Yeah.
Best tasting menu meal I've had in the past 7 to 8 years.
I'm ready.
Ninth year was crazy. I can't
Bated
get to
breath.
The ninth year.
Drop this bomb.
Vespertine. Have you been?
I was going to say, take your fucking friend to Vespertine. I went for my birthday.
It's
folks
unreal.
Listening cannot afford it, but you should get a Kickstarter started. It is It's its own building. Every single item in there was it was made for the restaurant, like all the dishes, all the flatware.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. They know your name when you pull up to the restaurant. I didn't. That was weird.
That weirded us out, too.
And every dish, everything is curated specifically. It's outstanding.
And
that's where you go.
You go on. It's like the meal takes place on four different floors. It's like, it's kind of a, it's a
it's
little
art.
Themey. But yes, it's more arty than theme. It's like Disneyland in the best possible way for, oh, here's how I describe it. Wait, hold on. I have a better way. It's like the first class cabin of a spaceship.
Okay, because I was going to go more specific. It's if the Death Star went to culinary school.
Yeah, okay. Same, same.
Right. Same, same.
Wait, so you went for your birthday.
My birthday.
Did you think it was one of your favorite crazy tasting menus?
It was great. You know, I am really pretty much down for everything. I'm not really a food snob. I have an elevated palate since meeting my husband.
You're not a food snob. I said vespertine and you like came in your pants.
Because that's so weird that we made eye contact when you said that. It was just such a you know what? I think a lot of restaurants aim to do that with like the minimalist curation and everything specific. And it's almost like a Zoolander character.
Yes.
But I think there's the imitators and then there's the innovators and the people that do it right. And that was an experience worth paying for versus just like small plates.
Agreed.
And everything's black and you can't see your food, but listen to the food. So
yeah.
I really.
It was so different.
It was different. That's where you should go and have him pay for it.
What do you eat? Wait, since you're into sustainability and all that stuff, what do you do when you're on the road? When you're in Peoria and there's no, you know.
Comedy jukebox.
There's no Bel Campo meats there.
You know, I think you can eat clean. And I read this article one time. I want to say it was in The Atlantic, but I don't know. And like the term clean shames poor people because it's the idea that like they're eating dirty and you're eating clean. So
I kind of agree with that. I've always hated when people describe food as clean.
Without any social agenda, I'm just saying clean and that there's no additives, and I think there it sucks that like an apple is more expensive than like 50 bags of Doritos.
Right.
But I think if you seek it out, you know, you can go anywhere and just get like a chicken breast, a salad.
So you make an effort to keep it healthy.
I make an effort, but like we were just in Charleston. Like you have to eat when you're there.
Yes.
We went to The Ordinary and we ordered like harp seals with like blank checks. Like we just like went for
it. Wait, what is The Ordinary?
It's this outstanding restaurant in Charleston and they do this one dish that's homemade saltine crackers and these like smoked oysters. I think they're smoked and then this Tabasco sauce. Like everything
fun.
Is because it's Charleston, so it's like soul food and seafood and
it's delicious there.
It's delicious. So certain cities we, you know, you make an allowance. You eat the thing. I'm a big fan of like having a culinary understanding of like regional culture.
That's one
country.
Of the fun things of touring, too. You get to go to all these cities and have all the fun stuff.
And say you ate the thing. Do I want to skip Skyline Chili? Yes, Cincinnati. Do I eat
holy shit,
the
I was
garbage
literally...
plate in Rochester? No.
I was just going to say Skyline Chili and Grater's Ice Cream. But I'm with you. Skyline Chili, first of all, I thought was the most disgusting thing. And I was drunk and high when I had it, so I was like poised to like it.
Right, right, right. It was theirs for the taking. But that is, you know, eating in a special place. We were in San Francisco. Hunter got up early. He went to Tartine.
Yeah.
So even though I was like doing a 14-hour fast, I was like, I'll just eat the heart out of the Cinnabon. And
but if you're in a place that doesn't have any, like if you're literally in the shithole.
You can find a Chili's. You can find a Panera. Like you can
that's
find
your place
something.
Is Chili's. Is
or
your...
a grocery store and get some almonds, blueberries. Like there are things you can do.
You put in the effort.
I try.
I don't. I'm a disgusting. When I'm on the road, I just get gross.
You can. It's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
And club food, when I was doing clubs at the time, I was like, oh, the Improv has such tasty steak bites and chicken fingers. But now for theaters, we have, you know, I can't believe I've become this person. But if you don't want to die, you have to put in your rider.
Yeah, of course.
So if we have two shows, we do like a smoothie of like kale and stuff in between just because you don't want to hort down.
Yeah.
I love that term. It's like a Patton Oswalt world. Garbage food and then have to do a second show.
Yeah.
But we did order Mission Chinese food after the second show.
Ooh.
And I did eat it out of a mug in the green room in between meet and greets.
Oh, wow. See how glamorous it gets, guys?
It waxes and wanes. I did a really hard workout that day.
Yeah.
And then you eat. Like, you have to enjoy it. So it's all about
Hashtag
quantity.
Balance. Hashtag balance.
Hashtag balance. Hashtag self-care, ladies.
And men. We can have self-care, too.
Sure.
We'll get back to Eliza in a second, but first, I did a little deep dive on the Pooh's Cafe. It was a famous 19th century after-dinner drink and consisted of equal parts grenadine, maraschino liqueur, creme de menthe, creme de violette, yellow chartreuse, and brandy. Sounds disgusting, but looks amazing. You see, each ingredient is a different density, and after separating off, it kind of looks like a gay pride flag in a glass. The perfect drink to be served at a lesbian bar called, oh, I don't know, the Poos Cafe. See what I did there? With the poos and the, oh, okay. Oh, you do get it. All right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back to Eliza. Okay, we're getting to our rapid fire question time, where I ask you rapid fire questions.
I'm ready.
We need a name for this section. We don't have a name yet. The guest choose. You want to go with rapid fire?
I mean, it sounds like it's an apt description.
Yeah. Okay. We should probably.
Should it be food based?
Yeah, I think so. But quick. Everyone says quick fire, but
rapid
that's
buffet.
Rapid buffet. All right, it's time for the rapid buffet, guys. So 10 questions. We're going to go through them pretty quickly, but some of them we might elaborate on them a little more.
Why does that have to be fast? Is that because you want to get like the dirty answer out of me? Penis. I love cocks. Like, do you think I'm going to slip up if I don't have time? I'm like, mustard. Oh, fuck. I meant to say mayo. Oh. Is it necessary to do it fast?
No. I don't know why I'm turning it into like a reality show.
Yeah.
Like, no. We can take our time. Mm-hmm. This is called the slow roll.
Slow cook.
We call this slow cook.
There you go.
Slow food. The slow food movement. What is your earliest food memory?
Okay, real quick. So,
real quick. So my dad's dying, and
check it out. My mom. I don't remember this. My mom told me to toilet train me. She would feed me a raisin every time I pooped on a toilet. Like that was like my reward.
No.
I'm a relatively healthy eater. I do love sugar though, but. So from a young age, like she didn't feed me any candy or garbage. It was a raisin was my reward for taking a baby dump.
Oh my God.
Properly. But my first memory, I remember eating spaghetti and cheesecake and throwing those things up.
Huh.
Because
you had a birthday party.
Had a birthday party. I was like 6 or something. So for my whole life, I didn't eat cheesecake or really spaghetti until I met my husband. And he, like, because he's Italian and he loves to cook pasta. So I will eat pasta now, but I don't crave it.
Wow.
And cheesecake, I did take down a piece the other day because it was free for Jody Miller's birthday.
Good. Welcome back. We missed you.
But it's not something I ever crave.
Really?
I had a pint of cheesecake ice cream. But other than that, I did the other night.
It sounds like you love cheesecake.
I love cheesecake. I've actually come on this podcast because I need help.
LaCroix, if you're listening, we need a cheesecake flavor.
But that's my earliest memory. I remember throwing up in like a dining hall.
I like the other earliest memory of getting like a Eucharist of a raisin after you...
the body of grape. Great job taking a poo.
Number two, what is your death row meal?
Okay, so I get this question. I've had this question before.
Oh, I'm not original? Sorry.
Just that one question. Okay. It's right up there with like top 5 people you'd eat with. It's like, okay, if I don't say Oprah, am I a bad person? I don't think I could eat a meal. Faced with my own mortality, like knowing that I was going to die, I don't think I'd have an appetite.
Okay, don't take it so fucking seriously. You have one...
I'm a comic. If we can't discuss death casually,
My God.
I don't think I can't. In the context of that, I can't.
My belly would be full of questions about my mortality.
Yeah, I'd be like, why am I going down for this crime that I obviously didn't do?
Okay.
I wasn't represented fairly.
Okay.
This isn't right. I shouldn't be dying. I'm a good person. Better than any of you on the jury, bad people. I wouldn't be able to eat.
Okay,
What's the point of feeling good if you know you won't be able to remember feeling good?
Okay, Eliza. Okay. We're going to rephrase the question. Okay.
People are driving. They're like, she seems like a fun hang.
Ready? What would be the meal that you would have right before Yom Kippur starts? Before sundown? Before the fast?
So just like a tasty meal.
Yeah, like your
that
like,
I can't eat for a
like
day.
Like your solid one that you're gonna really. Like,
I mean.
Like your fave.
Okay, can I cobble together a meal?
Sure.
Well, that's the thing though. You can't really cobble together because some things don't go together.
Right.
I love the Normandy butter from Republique.
Okay.
But
I'm picturing you telling the warden this during death row. Like, okay,
no,
I know I'm
we
cobbling.
Said no death row.
I know, but
no
I was tricking you. Okay, got it. So Normandy butter.
I don't know. I love good sushi, knowing it's somewhat sustainable, but sometimes sustainable fish isn't that tasty.
Yeah.
I don't know, like a good thing of sushi. I don't like silver skin fish, so no mackerel.
Really?
I don't know why they call it horse mackerel. Like, who wants that? Not a huge tuna fan.
Not a huge tuna fan.
Tastes like blood to me.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, whitefish, things like that.
A little whitefish sushi.
Little whitefish sushi.
A little halibut.
I don't know. I like baked potatoes. I don't know. I like all kinds. I like most food. I don't like that
question.
So,
butter, sushi, and a potato.
Yeah, I like Sour Patch Kids and popcorn. That's my like secret hack that people don't know about.
Huh.
That's like the best thing to eat.
Wait, together?
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here.
I should have brought you some.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting, because you get the crunch.
And
you get the fun slimy sour.
You get the salt and the sweet and the sour. It's excellent.
Wow.
I don't know. I love toffee. I like so many things.
It's very umami.
I know. It is very umami. Yeah. Maybe umami burger. You know what? Whatever you put in front of me, I don't want to think about it. How's that?
Okay, got it.
I just want someone to put it in front of me.
Yeah.
Even Paquito Moss is tasty. Studio Plate,
really?
Tasty. They have like the special pink sauce that I think is just ranch and salsa, but it's really good. I am not above it. I am a classy, educated woman, but I will eat garbage with you.
Do not commit a murder, because I don't want the warden to have to go. He's going to be like, okay, we need a stay of execution, because this is going to be crazy.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A, tasty, no sauce even needed. So, you know, it just...
Do you order Chick-fil-A with no sauce?
Yeah.
You're like, I want the bird to speak for itself.
Yeah. That, whatever they fry it in, like satanic peanut oil, like it is tasty. I know they're like anti-gay and like that's not cool. And I haven't had it in a very long time.
Yeah.
But like I can still say that it's tasty and like still be very pro-gay.
Yeah.
Movements.
I think it's okay. I think it's
tasty.
Okay.
Don't trample. Don't tread on me.
What is the... Oh, we might have answered this, but maybe not. What is the best high-end meal you've ever had?
You know, it's funny because we were just in Napa, which is near Yountville, and I went to French Laundry.
French Laundry.
Vespertine's up there, but I did get to go to French Laundry once. And have you been?
I have not. I went to Per Se.
Okay, so...
It's not French Laundry. French Laundry seems a lot more special.
You know what? I have two. I went to French Laundry... and it was like a several-hour meal.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't let you, film their truffle shavings. Because they're like, it's like a secret. I'm like, you sound like a judge. Whatever.
Oh, my God.
And then they encourage you to, like, walk around the grounds where they grow everything because you have to digest your meal.
Yeah.
And this is a true story. I made the mistake, this was years ago, of posting a geotag and, like, saying where I was while I was there.
Okay.
And a psycho fan showed up.
No.
And we were, like, walking around... either like there or like right outside, like in the whatever. And this guy showed up. He had driven in from Davis and he started talking to me and the guy I was with at the time. And he was like, I've got some paintings for you. And we thought he was just like a guy like in the park with art. And I was like, I'm cool. Thank you though. Cause we're drunk, right? I'm doing handstands.
Oh my
naked.
God.
Like my dress is coming up. And he was like, but they look just like you. And he had painted like three different paintings of my face. The paintings were dope, like full disclosure. But it was that thing where I was like, I gave him enough time to find me because the meal was so long. So that's like forever marred in my mind, my trip there. But
wow.
It was tasty. I don't remember it, but it was tasty. And then we also skipping ahead a couple relationships to my current one, my husband and I went to Osteria Francescana in Modena for a honeymoon.
I've been there as well.
Have you?
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
You've been everywhere.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, and it's when you eat it, you're like, oh, that's the thing everyone else is imitating. We had this dish. I don't know if you had this, like, Parmesan Five Ways.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's his famous dish.
And I had never heard of him or it or there. And we went, and I was really jet-lagged and not feeling great. And you can do wine pairings with every course, and I did a cocktail pairing.
Oh, man.
And so we get down to the end. And by the way, I never want to be an ugly American, but everybody there was American. Everybody was visiting.
Yeah.
And everyone's acting holier than thou. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
We're all affording this. And I'm not in the food world. I don't care if you're looking at me. I'm way hotter than those two ugly dudes. So look all you want. So we're eating. People are going to hate that. Like, oh, female comic likes herself. So we're eating. And at the end, they had a dessert. And it was this like little amuse-bouche, like single bite. And it was like this cherry. And I didn't know it was a single bite thing, so I bit into it, and
oh,
it exploded cherry juice all over the white tablecloth, all over me. Everyone's looking over, and I'm just like blood dripping. I'm like, they didn't say it was one bite. And at one point, I think I tried to close my eyes at the table because I was tired. My husband's like, we're at the number one restaurant in the world. Take your head off the table. I'm like, I'm so tired. It's so expensive. So I was a monster.
Oh, man. That I actually... I ended up going there the day that it became the number one restaurant.
Oh, wow.
We had a reservation for that afternoon.
Were you there just to eat there? Were you already in
No, we were going to Italy, but we made a little trip to go to Modena for that, which, what a fucking charming city.
So charming.
So charming.
Really great if you're not jet-lagged with an allergy attack, but it was very charming.
Or even if you are.
It was fun.
A little cobblestone here and there.
But it was really tasty.
But we... So I think the chefs were super hungover because they partied the night before. Mm. And on like course number 11 was like some lemon risotto thing. Ooh. And the risotto was clearly undercooked. And my girlfriend at the time was a chef.
Heretic.
And like we were both like, this is definitely undercooked.
Whoa.
But then the question is this. Do you fucking return a dish at the number one restaurant on the day they became the number one restaurant in the world? Mm. Or do you... But then you think like, wait, but I'm fucking spending $400 a person here.
Is that all it was? I thought in my mind it was like $8,000.
It was me.
I have no idea. I don't know. It was a honey fun thing. Yes, you return it, and here's why. Don't sleep. Don't rest on those laurels.
Right?
Keep them on their toes.
We returned it and they fucking freaked out.
Were you right though?
We were right. But you heard them all whispering like behind the wall, like, oh, Joe, the risotto, whatever.
Because they probably were, someone probably killed themselves, like for family honor in the back. Yeah, you can't, people are paying for an experience and a quality product.
And you're paying a lot of fucking money.
A lot.
Don't fuck up the risotto.
That for sure. It's already a fickle dish.
We're going to go from Osteria Francescana to the best low-end meal you've ever had.
Define low-end.
It could be like a Taco Bell gordita. It could be...
I mean, Taco Bell makes a tasty taco.
Yeah, they do.
Like, it's not meat. I don't know what it is, but they make a tasty
taco.
Especially
if you're a little drunky drunk.
There's a place... Yeah, for only.
Yeah.
There's a place on Santa Monica called Los Tacos. Is it Los Tacos? And I am a gringo crunchy taco lover.
Yes.
I am not here for corn tortillas. I don't care.
Wait, do you like the crunchy with the soft around it or just the crunchy?
That is outstanding. Having had that recently.
I've
Oh, where we went to, Tua Familia.
Oh, okay. I've never been.
It was really tasty. The service was really slow. And they did that gordita thing.
Yeah.
It was like potato in it and it was really good. Like a corn deep fried shell with cheddar cheese and lettuce. I am admitting, like, white person garbage taco.
I like it.
But I'm so here for it. And they do those kind of tacos there.
Ooh, fun.
So I don't know if that's like the lowest end meal. I mean, I've also, you know, eaten, I'm sure, a lot of things drunk. I'm trying, now hold on. I'm like trying to, I feel like I can do better than this. I definitely like pick things out of the garbage.
Oh, here we go.
When I was single, my big hack was I would order like $100 worth of Thai food on a Monday and then just eat off of it throughout the week.
That was your meal plan?
Yeah. I was like, oh, I'm 25, fast metabolism, this should be fine. So I'm trying to, I guess, you know, I've eaten the food of the people in several countries.
Yeah.
Thai food has great street food.
Yeah, for sure.
Obviously, I had really tasty crab on a street corner in the rain in Bangkok. And it was so cheap. And I was like, this is the tastiest crab. So I don't know.
Those are the most fun, I think. The
street food is extra tasty.
Love it. Your dog finicky or no with food?
You know what it is? She doesn't really have a ton of front teeth. So it's if you get people at stores or it's like, oh, can I give her a milk bone? I'm like, she just can't. I think she knows she can't really tackle it. Plus, they don't smell that great. She will eat anything. She will rip it out of your hand.
Oh.
She will wait for you to turn away and she'll do a spin move and grab it. She will, at an airport, she'll walk up to any stranger.
She has no manners.
She's like Helen Keller, just like blindly taking things off people's plates.
You've got to train her with a raisin.
She'll just stare with a thing, something that could kill her.
No, just like, you know, it seems.
No, I get it.
Oh, okay, I don't know.
You know that grapes will kill dogs?
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. That's like my treat for dogs whenever I see them. I just leave a trail of dead dogs
behind. You'll never see
me.
Them again. I had this vet named Dr. Jordan, and he was this like big black guy who was a vet that also fought in Vietnam. He's just like an old dude.
Oh.
And he would hold his huge hands, and he would hold your animal and like look at it. And I got the dog, and I was like, can she have grapes? Like, I heard that they can't. He goes, dog can't have grapes. And I go, what about a raisin? He goes, raisin just an old grape. But yeah, it will kill your dog. Do not feed them.
By the way, that sounds like a fucking CBS sitcom. He's a vet, but also a vet.
A vet vet. Yeah, she'll eat pretty much anything. And something we do, because it's hard for her to chew hard food, is we put a little bit. This is my chef husband. He takes the hard food, puts a little bit of warm water, makes a roux, so she gets like a little gravy.
Shut up.
And she eats it, and she loves it.
Oh my God, what a fancy dog. She gets a roux.
She also has to lose like 2 pounds.
She's all right.
She's a little heavy.
You put her on the keto diet for a little.
You want that keto diet?
This is probably my favorite question. What is your restaurant pet peeve?
Oh, where do I begin?
Yes, you're like me.
Oh, so fun fact about me, I have a Yelp account where I haven't done it lately, but I've written some scathing restaurant reviews.
Is it as you or is it a secret account?
Definitely a secret account. And my husband at one point was like, you need to start writing positive ones. Otherwise, people will know that all you do is shit on them. So cut to me at like 3 a.m. I'm like, the food was tasty. Definitely will go back. Yeah, that's my thing. You know, I have been a waiter. So I understand what goes into it. I understand that it's not always your fault when an order is messed up. Sometimes it's the kitchen. But the waiter making the most in the restaurant bears the brunt of the customer's dissatisfaction. And I have a lot of pet peeves. I don't like it when people give you a water and they hold the rim of the glass with their fingers. So you're just licking up their fingers.
Yeah.
I don't like when a waiter kind of, they either don't come by ever, and you, or they come by too often and you're like, okay, well, I'm in the middle of talking and I don't need anything. I don't need my water glass refilled. Leave the carafe. I'm not the, this is Knights of the Round Table and you're a squire. Like, I don't need my water. Just chill. I also, my husband, just being in the restaurant industry, talks a lot about how there's, they did they did a study and they show that tipping, over tipping doesn't actually induce better service. It doesn't actually prompt better service. Because if you suck and I don't tip you well, mm-hmm. you'll walk away thinking like, I'm just a dick. Very few people are self-aware enough to be like, you know what? I could have done better. I'll hustle harder next time.
Oh, interesting.
And he also talks about all the time, like, he's like, yeah, everybody wants their waiters to make a living wage, but then they're angry when their steak costs $45.
Right, right.
So it is that balance.
I do hate it when the waiter jumps in like that, too. I feel like it's kind of like, it's like double dutch. You got to know when to jump
in. You got to know when. And, you know, check in for sure, but, like, gauge the conversation. And I remember when I was a waiter, I was like, gives a fuck. I got to get this in. I got to ask them. But there is an ebb and a flow to it. I had a waiter one time who used the F word a bunch, like being too casual. And it's like, look, I'm no better than you just because I'm eating here, but like, you can't curse at me.
Is that because like he recognized you and was like, she's a comic, I can...
This is a while ago. I don't think so. I think he just was like, over it. What are you guys? We got some fucking great things today. I'm like, hey, casual Dan. Like, we're like, we don't have to be like that down. I'm trying to think of other... There's so many pet peeves. Oh my gosh, now I'm... I don't like when they give you a straw, just
really?
Without asking.
Oh, you're on the straw? On the straw?
Yeah,
campaign.
I'm on the let's try to do our part to save the animals. I'm looking right at your green straw. some restaurants are just blatantly, I was at a restaurant recently in DC, could have been Charlotte, might have been Charlotte. But the point is, I asked for a side of something and they brought it out in a plastic cup versus a ramekin.
Awful.
It's like, I know you have them back there, like this is, now it's wasted and you know. So I guess wastefulness bothers me. If I ask for a napkin, you bring me a stack of napkins just kind of like floating through your job. I don't know.
I get that.
Do you have any? Because I feel like if you say something, I'll be prompted.
I have way too many. I mean, I don't like it when...
I've got one more.
Sorry. I don't like... Oh, go ahead.
I don't like a limp hostess. I show
yes.
up. I am... And look, there's this whole thing in LA. Everyone's awkward. Oh, sorry, I don't make eye contact. Be a fucking person, okay? Yeah. No one's going to hurt you. When I walk into your restaurant... Look at me. Hi. I don't even care if you welcome me. Just hi. And then we take me to the table. Be like, here you go. You guys enjoy your meal. Not like, hi. Okay. It's right over here. Just because you're young, that means you're afraid of everyone.
Ugh.
This is a job. Make eye contact. Be a human. Or don't work in the front of the house.
I'm with you 100%.
You're representing your restaurant. And I want to hurt you. I think having an attitude for no reason, like I'm here, I want to tip, I want to have a nice experience, I'm at dinner, like you are a steward of your brand.
Yes.
So I don't like the attitude
And I don't
thing.
Care if you're having a bad day, honestly. Like a lot of people give that as an excuse. I have a bad day sometimes and I have to go and make people fucking laugh.
Yeah.
Like.
I found out my brother went to prison and I had to walk on stage. I've had the flu, like nobody cares. This is part of being in our society. You don't have to be the best waiter ever, but don't take it out on me. I'm here to support your living.
Yeah.
I've chosen to eat out. The headset thing.
I also don't like it when I ask, hey, I'm thinking about these two items, like for entree, and they're like, oh, get the pasta. I'm like, no, I feel like you should give me the option, like tell me the pros and cons of both.
I want to know what you like. You work here.
No, but I don't want her to pick for me or him.
Oh, see, I think that's just in the framing of it. Because you said you were stuck, and they're like, here's my vote.
Yeah, but then it's like, hey, the chef didn't put these out so that the out-of-work actor can start curating the menu.
Take
sorry,
it easy.
Sorry.
This is a podcast. You're not winning an Oscar. Out of work actor. We're all out of work actors. But there's that. There's just like having an attitude about it. I hate when you walk in and they're like, we're out of everything. I don't like restaurants where it's like a hassle to eat there. I can't stand a loud restaurant where there's no thought that goes into like sound absorption.
Oh, yes. Agreed.
I won't say the restaurant, but we walked in this very popular restaurant and we walked in. It was like 6:30. Or we had something to do, anyways, and the woman, I just remember her, like, attitude. She was like, hi, welcome. We're like, oh, hi. We were just looking to get dinner. She's like, okay, the next table's available at 10:30. And she just looked at us like, I'm going to be like, oh, okay, we'll come back in 4 hours. Thank you. It was just, like, such a weird, like, Stepford wife, like, great. Like, who wouldn't want to wait? Our food's exceptional. So she was a bitch.
I'm so curious what the restaurant is. You're going to have to tell me after.
I will. Oh, I feel like, yeah, I could do, my mom doesn't like it when, this doesn't bother me. Because it's like a bit of a colloquialism, but when people are like, you finished, you're still working on that.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, I'm not working on anything. Finished my meal. That doesn't bother me, though.
Could we go on to the next question?
I mean, yeah, I could probably sit here all day and just.
I know, it's my favorite question. I can do so much. I'm trying to think of
I just like when people care about their jobs. That's all. I care about mine. When you come to my show, I try to curate everything. I try to make sure everybody has a nice experience.
Yeah.
Soup to nuts. So.
I also feel like if I'm returning something, don't give me that much resistance.
I've never felt the resistance. I feel like they take it and then the manager comes like, what was wrong? I'm like, what was wrong is that it was gross and like this is not what we ordered.
Yeah.
I never want anything for free. That's the other thing. I'm never trying to get like a free item.
Oh, I only try to get free shit.
Really?
Oh, I love it.
Oh, I think it's so tacky.
I love it. I'll call a restaurant. I'm an investor in a restaurant in New York and I'll call.
Excuse me.
Humble brag.
What a Chipotle franchise. Which street?
No, it's a celebrated restaurant. So I'll call and I'll make a reservation and be like, yeah, I'm one of the investors and da da da. And they'll fucking bust out all this free shit and I love it.
Well, that's different than returning it. I was at a dinner one time and what they had made was bad, so we went to return it. And someone in our party said, "You know what? I'll keep it. I'll give it to the dog, but I want you to take it off the menu." And I put my hand down. I go, "No." We either return and do not consume, or you consume it. You pay for it.
Yeah.
Do not be tacky.
Yeah.
I just had a really good one. Oh, I forgot it now. Oh.
No, don't worry. That was plenty. Those were good.
Okay.
You're doing great.
I feel like I had another one.
Those were great.
I feel like it had to do. Okay.
Why don't we keep going? And if you think of one, we'll jump right back in.
I just had it. Oh, yeah. Here's what it is.
Okay.
Don't seat me like I'm a schmuck. Don't put me by the bathroom.
Yes.
And don't put me by the server's like refill station.
Yes.
Or by your POS system, especially when there's other tables. It's almost as if they're like, let's just pawn off this table. I'm like, no, I know. I don't want to be seated by a door swinging open.
Oh, the kitchen door. So it opens and it's suddenly fucking fluorescent lights.
Just everything, breaking up the ambiance. Don't seat me like I'm a jerk off. Give me a nice table.
Yes. 100%. I'm with you.
So don't do that to me.
Good. We will not.
Unless the restaurant's really good and I'll take what I can get.
What is your favorite drunk food?
I feel like we kind of...
Yeah, we kind of did that.
I mean, drunk food is whatever. Like, my favorite drunk food is whatever's in front of me.
Yeah, we did a lot of favorite drunk foods.
You know?
It seems like you have a penchant for Thai food.
Love Thai food. I mean, we got great Thai food here in L.A.
Yeah.
We like to get a little sauced and eat at Night Market, obviously.
Great tasty. Restaurant.
Great restaurant.
You ever have that, the pig cheek thing that they do, the appetizer?
Oh. Maybe.
Oof.
Pork, if you give it to me, I'll eat it, but I seldom like, oh, pork. Ruined Pear. You ever go there?
No.
That was a game changer for me. I'd been dating my husband a couple months, and we drunk went to Ruined Pear one night, and he ordered this thing called the turnip pancake, which you would never think to order.
Huh.
Maybe one of the best dishes in L.A.
Get out of here.
Ruined Pear is the jam.
R-U-I-N?
You know, I think it's like R-U-E-N.
Like a Thai spelling?
Yeah, like it's like not a real, yeah. it's not an English word.
Right, like Ruwen.
Yeah, it's like that.
R-U-W-N.
So
we'll find out.
Thai food is always great because it's salty, it's sweet, and there's a lot of components to
it. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun on the taste buds. It's bright.
It's
exciting.
It's bright. It's sugary. Very sugary. So I think for junk food, it's whatever is there.
Okay.
But you'll eat a buttered tortilla when you're drunk. Like, you just need something. Whatever.
Do you have a favorite hangover food or same?
I think it's all kind of the same. You need something substantial.
I think so, too.
Not to do another shameless plug, but my husband invented is not the word, but is the one that created the breakfast burrito at Kofax.
I know that. I read about that.
He put that burrito together.
Can I tell you what I love about the breakfast burrito at Kofax?
Yeah.
And this is not, I would have said this yesterday, okay? Without our...
Is that the creator seems hot.
Yes. He's hot, very, dude. Very attractive.
Yeah.
it's not a huge breakfast burrito. A lot of times you get a breakfast burrito and it's like, this is your breakfast, lunch,
and
dinner
burrito. It's like a fuck you
burrito. Yeah.
Like, try to eat this.
Yeah. Piece of shit.
Try to fit your mouth around this.
If you can finish it, it's free.
Oh, that's such an American
thing.
No,
but it's like it's a perfect size breakfast burrito.
I think I like that they do a smoked potato in it.
Yeah.
Tasty.
Tell them kudos. Tell them kudos from me on the breakfast burrito.
But yeah, that's for hungry. You gotta have like a sandwich.
That's
or something.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Cereal.
Who's your favorite celebrity chef?
I have to say my husband.
Yeah.
Because he was on an episode of Chopped. But he also wrote Jeremy Fox, who has Rustic Canyon. We ate there last night for our anniversary. Jeremy Fox did our wedding. He did the food for our wedding.
Get out of here.
And so Jeremy Fox has this book called On Vegetables. And my husband wrote the cookbook.
No way.
And it's James Beard nominated. So I was very proud of him for that.
Wow. That's awesome. We're going to have links to everything that we mention in this podcast.
It's one of those books that you see in like furniture stores and like cute little gift shops. Like it's a pretty book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
A celebrity chef. I don't know. I was on Chopped Junior once.
Were you really?
Yeah.
That's fun.
Kids made a lot of sandwiches.
Really?
A lot of sandwiches. Now, how do you frame it? No matter the culture, it's a sandwich. But they were cute. Yeah.
What is your desert island food? You can take one thing.
What's with you in these extreme situations?
I know. Don't take it literally. I'm like, well, it's a desert island.
You're passing
I need to be
away.
Hydrated. So coconut and IV.
Yeah.
No.
You live longer, I'll be so thin.
You'll be fine. You're going to be hydrated.
So I have water.
You have your water.
And it's just one food?
Yeah.
I am the Steph Curry of comedians, not in skill, but in that I'm a popcorn snob.
I don't follow sports, so I don't know what that means.
You should know. No one listening to this podcast is going to get that reference, but you should know.
Does he enjoy popcorn?
Steph Curry's a popcorn aficionado, and he ranked them. It's like an article. He ranked them at all the arenas, and I believe it was the American Airlines Center in Dallas, which is my hometown, NBD, that had the best popcorn. I am a huge popcorn person.
Really?
I think I eat popcorn almost every day.
I couldn't give less of a shit.
Oh, my God. It's not meant for consumption. America has a reliance on corn because of farmer supplements after World War II.
Oh, here we go. Monsanto.
No, just in terms of, like, we shouldn't be eating it, but it's so tasty. So maybe popcorn, it's very filling. I don't know. See,
do you like the sweet popcorns or the savories?
I don't mind sweet, but I think I go savory. I put a little bit of truffle salt on it.
Ooh,
tasty time.
Nice.
But also your questions are, Dan, ill-formed because this isn't for sustenance, this is for taste. Like, chicken is a protein. If I eat popcorn, I'll probably die because you can't digest corn.
Yeah.
You can't eat candy because then you'll be gross
and ready?
Be in the first-person shooter games.
You're on the desert island. You're going to die.
I don't like this.
No, you're not going to be. You're
I
not going to be saved.
So much.
No one's going to save you. So you might as well eat what you want to eat. Is what I'm saying. You don't need to go for the chicken.
I can't think about that.
Popcorn.
I can't think about it. No one's coming.
You're going to have popcorn. You're going to die.
My mother's birthday.
You're
going to
die in a day and a half.
What?
You're
going
to have salty popcorn. You're going to get dehydrated. You're going to die.
This is horrible. Why would anyone come on this show just to be told?
And the last question in our question buffet, is that what we call this?
Okay, broccoli cheddar soup. Okay, fine.
Is that something?
Broccoli cheddar soup.
Is that something that is your? Is it a superlative? Do you enjoy? No. I don't know if you.
I'm not jumping in. I'm watching you drown in your own thoughts.
I'm drowning off the coast of your desert island. What food can't you stand? What food do you hate?
So it's not like I don't have that cilantro gene. Like I like, and it makes me mad when people are like, I don't like it. I'm like, get over it. It's tasty.
Yeah.
What can't I stand? I didn't like tomatoes for a long time, but then I realized I just hadn't had a good tomato.
Oh, then you had an heirloom tomato and it changed your life?
I had like a properly seasoned, like in season farmer's market, and I was like, this is the jam. What can't I stand? I don't eat veal. I just don't. I try not to eat lamb because I call my dog lamb, and I'm like, oh no, a lamb.
Can I tell you what I had for lunch today? And you're not going to believe it. I literally...
Whole lamb.
had lamb balls that I grilled.
Okay.
Testicles.
Oh, balls. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what?
Wait, don't leave. Don't leave.
No, you're eating the whole part of the animal versus like just, I wouldn't eat foie gras just because of the way it's made. You know,
yeah.
It's brutal.
Honestly, though, I think if the duck knew how good its liver was going to taste, it would be okay with the force feeding.
Sure. Sure. That seems like something an animal could totally consider if given the right parameters.
You put ethics above all.
Sometimes you can't, but I try. Those things just don't strike me. Something I don't need to eat veal, so I just don't. Like,
right.
I don't care. But I had a tasty steak last night. What was the question?
Food you can't stand.
Can't stand.
Is there anything, because those seem like more on ethical grounds, but is there something that you just the taste of it you're just not into?
Oh man, that's a tough one. You know what?
Like for me, it's pickled herring. I can't get down with pickled
herring. Okay, no one likes pickled herring except for every old Jew ever.
I know.
Gefilte fish is disgusting. I've written a bit about it that I'm currently doing at the Comedy Store. That's pretty gross. Yeah, you know, I guess I'm a little snobby in that I'm like, I don't want any part of an animal that like it's not like the choicest part.
Right. Oh, really?
Yeah.
But sometimes the cheap stuff is delicious, like short ribs. Those
yeah.
Those used to be cheap.
There's no food where, like, it's not like, I'm like, oh, I can't stand onions. I'm trying to think.
Right.
It's like, it's getting there. I'm not a huge chocolate fan, I have to be honest.
What?
Yeah,
shots
I know that, like,
fired.
All women love chocolate.
If and like, this man.
Can we tempt you with a flourless chocolate cake? I'm like, you can tempt me with literally anything else on the menu.
For dessert, I'm over having a chocolate dessert. I will give you that. I don't need the fucking, because that is the they put that there for the it's the crowd pleaser.
Crowd pleaser. I'm not a big peanut butter fan. Like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, fine. But and they're like, it's a peanut, chocolate, butter, ganache. I'm like, I don't care. Peanut butter is very pedestrian to me, and it feels like, oh, a 5-year-old has a lot of money. So I don't. That peanut butter doesn't do it for me. Peanut butter flavorings. Yeah.
Oh, I love peanut butter.
I've also found, yeah, okay. My husband said something interesting, too. I always order chicken if we're getting, like, tacos. Like, we went to a taco truck in Santa Barbara the other day, and I got chicken. And carne asada always has, like, more flavor. And he said, the odds of the beef having been raised better are greater than the chicken because it's a larger animal. So chickens in mass tend to have been raised poorer than a cow just because it takes up more space, it requires more things. So while they didn't have a great life, the odds are that beef was happier. And the chicky.
And on that happy note,
you're all gonna
about
die.
Death of
don't
animals. Eliza, thank you so much. Is there anything you want to plug that I didn't plug already?
You can check out my podcast, Ask Eliza Anything, where I avoid all these death row food questions. It's on Wondery.
You're about to get in a car accident.
Yeah. What's your last gulp? What's your last gasp? And my Instagram's Eliza S. And I'm there.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. It's a real honor to have you here.
I've always been such a
fan of your comedy, and it's good to get a little insight on your food habits.
Thanks, Dan. This was fun.
Thank you.
This episode of Green Eggs and Dan was produced by Andrew Steven. Executive produced by Jeff Umbro and The Podglomerate. You can find more of their podcasts at thepodglomerate.com. To see pictures of Eliza's fridge, information about the restaurants mentioned in today's episode, and more, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at StandUpDan. The theme music is Beautiful Food by Idan, and interstitial music is by Breakmaster Cylinder. If you like this show, please tell a friend, share an episode, and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey guys, Blanche, Eliza's dog, was in studio for this episode, and unfortunately, she died shortly thereafter. We miss you, Blanche. This episode was dedicated to you.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
The Podglomerate, a sonic universe.